Inspiring mothers. That's the theme this morning. I'm going to pray that God would help us and encourage us this morning. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we would be inspired by her attitude, by her focus, by her just God-centeredness, not only for mothers, but for fathers and for all who are gathered here this morning. We pray it in Christ's name for his glory. Amen. Friends, Heather Crane is an inspiring mother. She serves Christ in Mozambique. And I was reading a story about a recent accident that their son had and what transpired soon afterwards. This is how she describes it. Caleb was riding his bicycle. One of the wheels fell into a hole and he landed face first on the concrete, on the cement. So while these things happen quite a bit, I guess, for most people's children, at least happened for mine, but she said, listen to what happened next. But for us, the process then began of gathering passports, finding childminders for three of the kids, swapping vehicles with teammates, of course trying to slow the bleeding in the midst of all this, and racing to make the Malawian border before it closed. They're in Mozambique, they've got to cross the border to get some help. After 6 hours of driving and spending the night in Blantyre, we visited a trainee dentist in the morning who was filling in for the real dentist. He could do nothing as power was out in the city. So we could either wait or look elsewhere for treatment. Quickly, Jono, her husband, organised 2 air tickets to South Africa. Within a few hours, don't complain about St. George Hospital ever, will you? Or any hospital. They 2 tickets to South Africa. But the aeroplane was to have engine trouble and actually be delayed till the next day. 2 days later, Caleb finally got to see a dentist who was amazed that he had had no painkillers the whole time. So Josiah and I drove back 8 hours to Mozambique. I drive a lot slower than Jono does. And we then waited 4 days to drive back to Malawi again to pick them up from their return flight. We then all drove back home to Mozambique once again. She writes, I'm feeling tired just remembering it. Inspiring mothers who live for Christ in another culture where everything does not just fall into place easily. There are inspiring mothers right here amongst you. And you've told me about your mothers when I asked you a couple of weeks ago, and I'll comment on some of those things that you said later in the message. But today I want to take you to the mother of Jesus. And don't be frightened by, if I do that, to think, well, great, I've got to be like the mother of the Son of God. But she is a great example for us of God-centered, God-glorifying motherhood. She is a mother whose soul glorifies the Lord. Soul glorifies the Lord. See, Mary had been informed by an angel that she would give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. Mary's 15, 16 years of age. Quite an experience for her, a word from God through the angel that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit, have a child who would be the King of Israel, the King of the nations. Verse 41, we read, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. But Mary's response now. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. She has received good news, but astounding news. Scary news, dare I say. That somehow something miraculous was going to take place. What does she say? My soul glorifies the Lord. See, Mary's spiritual beauty reaches its emotional peak in the first part of that song. She responds from the heart to all that God has done for her. The question is, how does the soul glorify or magnify God? That's the other word there. Magnify. Glorify, magnify God. See, our mouth magnifies God by saying God is magnificent, by speaking God's praises. But no one hears a soul. No one hears what is inside. And I think she means that at this moment, her soul feels the greatness and holiness and mercy of God. And she feels joy inside her. Mary is so overcome by God's grace and generosity that she praises God, her Savior. But it begins in her soul, in her very spirit. She said, there is this overwhelming joy of knowing that God is at work in my life, that I'm going to be part of this great plan, but that God has blessed me. And the inner joy is expressed outwardly in this song that we have before us. Because let me say, an inspiring mother is one who recognizes the grace of God in her life and feels and experiences a deep joy in her soul. An inspiring mother. I'm not just going to talk about what you do, but an inspiring mother who recognizes the grace of God in her life and feels and experiences a deep joy in her soul. Because unless you get that joy, unless you feel that joy and experience that joy, it will limit the amount of God-exalting ministry that you can take a part in. Because once you have that joy, that satisfaction in God because of what God has done for you in Christ, it will not overflow into generous, sacrificial love and ministry right here or throughout the nations of the world. But it starts in here. She says, God, my Savior. That's a very important statement here, because let me say that although Mary was the woman chosen specially by God for a unique ministry, she was also a humble woman who recognized her need. She said she was a sinner like the rest of us and needed saving. It's an important correction to some churches that would teach something different to this. God is her Savior. She too is a sinner. She too needs forgiveness. She too needs a Savior. And friends, the right response to God's grace is joy and praise and prayer and witness and obedience. When your soul is filled with joy, it overflows into praise and witness at all times with mercy. I was reading a story this week entitled My Number One Fan. It's written by a woman about her experiences as a teenager and how her mother, because of her mother's joy in Christ, called out to God in prayer. And this girl, Donna, says, you know, school to me was a private hell where other kids considered me stupid. I got D's and F's. I had repeated seventh grade. They also made fun of my weight. She said I was extremely large. We couldn't find the clothes that I needed to wear. She said my mother had been praying for me since May and promised me that this year would be different. There's a mother with joy in Christ overflowing to prayer, calling out to God for a daughter. And the daughter thought, well, great, I'm going to go from a size 22 to 10 just simply because you pray. They said, I went back to school and the first kid yelled at me, hey, big mama, you're back again. My blue eyes welled with tears. Nothing had changed. My life had turned upside down when I was 10, and Dad's job took us from Indianapolis to Tupelo, Mississippi in the middle of the school year. Feeling inferior and backwards socially and academically, I became shy and reclusive. One teacher even seemed to get sadistic pleasure from belittling me in class. She goes on to describe that. Said, my parents took my self-esteem and poor academics seriously. They worked extra hours to pay for me to go to summer school and have tutors, and for a friend to sew me younger-looking styles than the matronly plus sizes on department store racks. Every day I begged Mum, Mum, don't send me to school. Please let me stay home. But my mother sent me. My junior high school principal thought I was mentally retarded and had gone as far as I could go scholastically. He recommended I be physically and psychologically tested and placed in a special education class. My parents broke down in tears when he said this to them. They saw the pediatrician psychiatrist and they said this, Donna, you did tremendously well. You're not dumb. In fact, you're a very bright young lady. Something has happened to you that has locked you up inside. And they said to the parents, Mr. and Mrs. Shepherd, there's a butterfly inside Donna that wants to come out. He said, my mother fasted, my mother prayed. My mother knew God and knew the peace of God, the joy of God, the power of God. And she prayed and fasted and called out to God to open me up to find out what was going on in my life. And prayed that next year in high school things would be different. But she said, my first day I went there, I was still the fat mama. I walked into the bathrooms to cry by myself in private. So I used to like to sing, and I'd heard missionaries and singers singing in church, but I was too shy to join the church choir and so on. But there I was alone in the bathroom and I began to sing. I'm sure many people sing in the bathrooms, not in school toilets anyway. Did I just started to sing and I raised my voice and then I heard somebody walk past the toilets. And I quickly shut up, she said, and I gathered my books and this lady met me outside and said, come here, what? I said, what's your name? I said, my name's Donna Shepherd. And the woman said, look at me. Lift up your head. What's your name again? I said, Donna Shepherd. I said, come to my office in the morning, she said. Well, what do you want me to come to your office for? I said, I want you to try out for the choral group. I said, well, I can't sing, she stammered. I don't ever want to hear you say that you can't do anything. Do you hear me, she said. She said, she was a bit of a Gestapo, this lady. I said, okay, and what's your name? She said, I'm Mr. Stevens. She said, I ran out of the car and Mum asked, how was your first day at school? The mother who's fasted and prayed because we're joined in Christ, believing that God could change things. She said, everybody's the same, but Mother, there's a woman who wants me to try out in the morning for the choral group. I said, Donna, do you want to do it? Go and do it. Mum, I'm just too frightened. I can't do something like that. And God took her to that room that next morning. The woman said, I want you to sing for me. She said, well, all I know is a Jesus song. Well, sing a Jesus song then. She began, Amazing Grace. She said, I began in a wobbly voice. Higher, higher. Look at me, she said. Breathe as you sing. Amazing Grace. She said, higher. Amazing Grace. Sing it higher, Donna. So when I thought my voice would surely lift the roof, she said, good. I want you to sing my first soprano in the choral group. And she said, I can't. She said, enough, I can't. I said, I don't want to hear it. I can't again from you. I said, I went home shaking. Mother, I can't believe it. I'm in a choral group, first soprano. And they praised God for what had taken place. Not only did she sing first soprano, her next report card 3 months later showed that she had made the honor roll. She began singing duets in church and solos in church. And she traveled around the place singing about God. She became a popular student, voted the third most popular student in 1,300 students in the school. Because there was an inspiring mother who knew the power of God, had joy in her heart, said, God, this daughter of mine, she needs your help. And God changed her. Ended up marrying, going to Bible college, marrying a pastor. Traveled around the states and other countries, leading praise and worship and singing to her God. But let me say, things don't always work out like that. Let me illustrate what the joy of Christ can do in the midst of loss and grief. Glenda and Stephen Vance served God in Zambia from 1980 to about, I think, 92, 14, 15 years. And Glenda writes in the Vision magazine, May 2007, I've taken some stories from today. So January 1992, Paul, their youngest son, was bitten by a dog, which we were assured had been vaccinated for rabies. Life continued, then on October 16th, he became ill at school and for 3 weeks was in intensive care in Johannesburg, South Africa, until he died on November the 3rd. It says, I thank God that he had a very strong faith, loved sharing it and encouraging others. At 10 years of age, he got what it's all about, she writes. I know that he is healed and free. I will never forget God's all-enveloping, uplifting presence, strength and comfort in circumstances so devastating and unbearable. I thank him for the life-changing revelation of himself through the hard time. I thank him for the life-changing revelation of himself through the hard time. Mission is telling of this amazing, wonderful God and the hope, peace, and joy he gives through Jesus, our Savior. Through blessing or through grief. Inspiring mothers and trust and rejoice in God. But secondly, verses 48 to 49, an inspiring mother is a mother who gives God the glory in all things. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servants. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Friends, we see the beauty of Mary's humility. She is a humble person. She is not an arrogant person. She is one who submits to God. And God blesses her. And you told me 2 weeks ago in the card that I asked you to fill out that humility and sacrifice and service is a key characteristic of inspiring mothers. humble people, not arrogant people. People who give their lives for others, not simply those who receive. And you said your mothers were selfless. They were servants. They showed self-sacrificing love. One, they persevered in times of difficulty. One person wrote, "My mother put herself between a violent and abusive alcoholic husband and her children. She took the physical and emotional anguish so we didn't have to." Another one said, "My mother didn't get the life she wanted, but she never stopped serving her family. Always being there, emotionally strong. My mother was kind and generous and loving. I still miss her very much." And how many of us can say that? "Nothing I told her or did changed her opinion of me." The beauty of Mary's humility expressed in many godly Christian women and mothers. Now let me move on to the impressiveness of Mary's grasp of the Bible. See, you may not pick that up, but you see, it seems as if Mary has picked up the song of Hannah in the Old Testament as she sings this song, as she declares this before God. See, the story of Samuel and Hannah in the Old Testament, where Hannah had no children and was abused by other women because of it. And she earnestly sought the Lord for a child. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, after God gave her a child, Hannah sings a song of praise, which is very similar to Mary's song. It's not that Mary has copied the song, but Mary is so steeped in Scripture that when she breaks out in praise, the words that come naturally to her lips are the words of Scripture. Isn't that good? That when you're in the midst of life situations, when you immerse yourself in the Word of God, when you know it, when you read it, when you meditate on it, that's why it was so good to have 140 or so people here yesterday do the Old Testament overview. When you read and you let it seep into your life, into your mind, into your soul, when you come to experiences like that, you just speak God's words. And this is what I think young Mary does, 15, 16 years of age. She would have heard the stories of Sarah and Deborah and Hannah and Ruth. And as she is blessed by God, she just can't help but speak similar words. Here's a woman soaked in the Word of God. Friends, beginning of June, we're going to put out a 3-month Bible reading guide. I did a few months ago to help you to read the Bible if you don't have a Bible reading plan. And some of your mothers, you told us, have been inspirational in this area. One person wrote, "My mother taught the Bible to us and prayed with us. My mum always praying and reading the Word. Day started and ended with prayer. The reading of the Word and prayer often comes together. My mother is a faithful, inspirational prayer warrior." And if they are that, then they are taking the Word of God and praying God's thoughts back to Him. Back to Mary for a moment. Mary has learned from the Song of Hannah and all of the Old Testament that God brings down the proud and blesses the lowly who look to Him for mercy. She's a humble servant of God, a young woman who loved God, was available to be used by God to bear the Son of God. But did you notice the focus in verse 49? Who gets the glory in all of this? Sure, she's been blessed by God, but who gets the glory? She says, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." She is singing, but she's pointing us back to God. "The Mighty One has done great things for me." Friends, the Mighty One's done great things for me. He saved me. He sent someone to share the gospel with me. He has filled me with His Spirit. He has forgiven me. He's adopted me to His family. He's given me a church family. He's given me a place in heaven. I am accepted, secure, and significant in Christ. And if you are a Christian, you have all of those things. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Our church has grown. People have been saved. Lives have been changed. Missionaries have been sent out. The unreached are being reached. The poor are being fed. The broken are being counseled. Who gets the glory? Let me tell you who gets the glory. God gets the glory. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God. And Mary teaches us, as an inspiring mother, to give God the glory. Another story I read this week is by T.D. Jakes about an inspiring mother, his mother. It tells a story of how his sister became very sick in her early 20s, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. So as a result of that brain tumor, we were helpless to help her. And we just prayed, and mum prayed and called upon God in fervent, passionate, desperate, unceasing prayers, she said. My mother believed in God, believed in the power of God, and just prayed and prayed. Our sister was so sick, she said, we couldn't do anything to change it. She became a warrior far superior to any epic hero. She became a giant on her knees. With a sword in one hand, she battled the enemies of death and disease. And with her other hand, she stretched toward heaven. She kept beseeching God's help and his mercy. Did say, why did she do that? She said, though my mother's prayers were intense and emotional at times, they were not based on emotion. They were based on faith. Her passionate pleas were built on her deep and intimate acquaintance with God, her years of relationship with him, her knowledge of his word. She knew who he was. She knew what he could do. She knew what he had promised. And she went to war for those things to come to pass in my sister's life. And when God answered and she was healed, God got the glory. God got the glory. It says, my sister went on to become a strong, healthy, beautiful mother and grandmother. Education, excellent education, distinguished career in her profession, authored books, public speaker, delight to her family. She is a trophy and testimony to the power of prayer and to the goodness of God. Inspiring mothers who pray to God. Finally, a mother who humbly relies on God and him alone. The text continues in verse 49, be holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers. She declares the holiness of God and then stresses the way this holiness expresses itself. You see, what fills Mary's heart with joy is that God loves to undertake for the underdog who calls on his mercy. See, God doesn't stand on the side of just simply the powerful and the wealthy, the ones who dominate and control others, but on those who are humble and contrite. Verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him. Verse 52, he has lifted up the humble. 53, he has lifted or filled the hungry with good things. But he opposes and abases the proud, the powerful and the rich. Verse 51, he has scattered those who are proud in their most thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has sent the rich away empty. Whose side is God on? The humble, those who fear him, those who are hungry. Why is God not partial to the rich, the powerful, or the proud? Because these things, wealth and power and pride, more often than not, become substitutes for God rather than pointers to God. They become substitutes for God rather than pointers to God. So Mary's song is recorded not just for some antiquarian interest. It's a word of warning and a word of salvation. God is not impressed with our pride, our power, and our wealth. He shows mercy to those who trust in him. And John Piper writes, does this not commend itself as true? The great and holy God should magnify his greatness by blessing the lowly who admire his greatness and by abasing the proud who resent his greatness. Friends, an inspiring mother, father, or person, one who humbly relies on God, his grace and mercy, and gives their lives joyfully serving him no matter the costs. Lois Downs and her husband, Barry, served as missionaries in the Northern Territory for many years. Now two of their sons are married with children, about to serve Christ in cross-cultural ministry. This is what this inspiring mother and grandmother has to say as we finish this morning. Lord, it hurts, but it's not about me. It's about them and their life and their adventures with you. Thank you for choosing them to take your message. Thank you that they, our children, should be worthy of this high calling. Give me courage, give me strength. Amidst my tears, may I rejoice. Our gorgeous grandchildren, look after them, Lord, as they live in other lands. We won't see them very much. It wasn't really my dream when we retired. They will always be in our hearts. Please bless them real good. Use their bilingual abilities that they will gain overseas for you, Lord. Thank you for giving us children who have a passion for you. Thank you for our wonderful daughters, wives of our sons. Help me to always remember that you will never leave them. I feel a lot better now.
Thank you, Lord.
Inspiring mothers all over the place, aren't they? Mothers and grandmothers who glorify God in their souls. It overflows into loving service and prayer for others. And at this point, we're going to invite our youth vocal group to come and perform a song made to worship.